Good evening. Big voice. How's everybody tonight? It's good to see you. Good to see you. Short announcements tonight. This Friday, April 30th, this coming Friday, a very special holy fire honoring the life of our beloved friend, General George Husky Austin. Again, it's at 6 o'clock this next Friday, April 30th. George went to be with the Lord on September 30th last year. His last service was here. And I think in keeping with that, it's just so special that we'll be honoring him that night. So if you can come out, it'll be a night of praise and worship with holy fire and honoring the life of General, they call him General, George Husky Austin. And hello, those of you on Facebook Live, we're glad to have you with us tonight. We hope that you enjoy the service. We know you'll enjoy the service. Okay, there will be no children's classes this evening. If children want to go, I'll take you across, take them across the hall. Don't forget our Wednesday evening prayer service at 6:30 on Wednesday. Power Fit with Pastor Kelly next Saturday in the upper room across the hall, beginning at 10 a.m. Pastors Kristen, Chris and Kelly and Kristen are in Fremont, Ohio with our bishop and Pastor Lydia Clowers. I know they're going to have a great time. And I know they're going to come back just filled up and ready to share what God has given them while they were there. So pray for them this weekend. Pray for safe traveling mercies for them as they come back home. And we're going to be blessed tonight because Pastor Dan is going to share a word. Woo! Mm-hmm. He's going to share a word with us. And before praise and worship, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for all your blessings unto us, for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing, dear God. I pray this evening that your Holy Spirit will fill this place. I pray, dear God, for the praise and worship team. We thank you for each and every one of them. Pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit would fill this place and that the anointing would fall. I pray for Pastor Dan and for the word that he brings forth. I pray that our hearts would be open to hear and to receive the word that you have for us. And we thank you, dear God, for all you've done, and bless each and every one who's here this evening and those who are watching from home. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would stand, please, and let's worship God. You are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. From every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah. Forever. Lord, you are good. out in the living waters. You're the filtering, you're the stirring, you're the life in the sons and daughters. As a rope to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Come and give the Lord His glory. Your love, because your love keeps going. thought by now they'd fall, but they never fail me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. I know the night won't last, your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within. I will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. You're still in your hands. This is my confidence.
Your promise.
Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is your confidence. You never fail me yet.
I never will forget.
I've seen your goodness on the mountain. I've felt your love down in the valley. And your grace still surrounds me. You've been good to me. You've been good to me. My soul sings. My soul sings with all my heart. Body, and I have life inside my bones, and I cannot help but praise you. Yeah, you've been good to me. Yes, you've been good to me. My soul sings.
I could have dreamed of a better God. I could have dreamed of a better Father. I could have dreamed of a better God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I could have dreamed of a better Father. I could have dreamed of a better God. I could have dreamed of a better Father. I could have dreamed of a better God. I could have dreamed of a better Father. I could have dreamed of a better God. I could have dreamed of a better Father. I got this joy. I got this joy and I won't let go. Look in his eyes and free my soul. I got this joy and I won't let go. My soul knows it. I got this joy and I won't let go. Look in his eyes and free my soul. I got this joy and I won't let go. My soul knows it. I got this joy and I won't let go. Look in his eyes and free my soul. I got the joy and I won't let go. My soul knows it. I got the joy and I won't let go. Open his eyes and free my soul. I got the joy and I won't let go. My soul knows it. I got the joy and I won't let go. I looked in his eyes and free my soul. Look at the joy and I won't let go. My soul knows it. I got the joy and I won't let go. I looked in his eyes and it freed my soul. I got the joy and I won't let go. My soul knows you well. My soul knows you well. My soul knows it 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 well. My soul knows it.
Soul knows it well, Lord. That my soul knows you, Lord, from the depth of my being. I know you, Lord. Oh, I know you, Lord. I desire you. I hunger and thirst for you, Lord. Oh, Lord, just help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, just to receive more from you, Lord, tonight. Jesus. Some reason practice didn't go well up there and I had messed up and some other things, but you know what, as long as we're blessed and as we go, and thank you for bailing me out, Bill, on that song. I just couldn't get one of the songs today and had Bill do it, and it did a real good job, as the worship team always does. But this is going to go well. I know it will. I want to walk with an intimacy with God. That's a desire of my heart. And it's truly amazing that we can do that. I mean, think about who God is, what God is, and how little and insignificant we are, but we are made significant because of what Jesus did. So we shouldn't look at ourselves that way. But just imagine that. It's possible that we can walk in an intimacy. If you were here last time for going deeper, Pastor Chris talked about intimacy with God. He taught a real good lesson on intimacy, and he's been hitting upon it in the past couple weeks. But there are many ways to have intimacy with God, and that's what we're going to talk about. Some of it is through praise and worship. Some of it is through other areas, and we're going to talk about that tonight. There's four examples in the Bible that I came up real quick with in regards to praise and worship, and we're going a little bit of praise and worship here, and at the end we're going to talk about a little bit of praise and worship, but the whole theme is having the intimacy with God. But four examples of those people who were intimate in their praise and worship. First of all, and this is probably comes to everybody's mind, is David. In 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14 and Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, God called David a man after his own heart. Imagine that. You know, a man after his own heart. If you think about David, if you know about David's story, David messed up a lot. And it wasn't little stuff. It was a lot of stuff. But David wrote the book of Psalms, and a lot of times in those Psalms, he was crying out to God, pouring out his heart to God, because he had that intimate relationship with God. So then when he did mess up, it was quickly remedied, because he just fell on his face before for God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, we see, Pastor Chris talked about this last week, but 1 Chronicles chapter 15, start with verse 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the commanders of units of 1,000 went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with rejoicing, because God had helped the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. 7 bulls and 7 rams were sacrificed. Now David, who was clothed in fine linen, as were all the Levites who were carrying the arks, and as were the musicians, and Kenaniah, who was in charge of singing of the choirs, David also wore a linen ephod. So all of Israel brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouts and the sounding of horns and trumpets and cymbals and playing of lyres and harps. As the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from the window, and she saw David dancing and celebrating. She despised him in her heart. Now we see he was wearing a priestly garment on the outside. He was dressed as a priest. Usually he's dressed with royalty. And when he took off that garment, it said he was wearing a linen ephod. Basically, it was what servants and common people wore. He basically said, I'm not worthy as a priest to celebrate before God. I'm not celebrating as a priest before God. I'm celebrating as a servant before God. And that really upset his wife, but he didn't care. He was just dancing and shouting and looking like a maniac for him. There was a song by David Crowder, how did it go? Undignified? Yeah, and it was talking about being undignified before the Lord, you know, and just kind of like not thinking about others around us, but just worry about you and God, me and God. So, second person I thought of was the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. If you remember the story, and if you're not aware of the story, this woman had an issue of blood. She had a physical problem, and she just wanted to get close to Jesus. I don't know if her intention was to touch the hem of his garment. I think she just wanted to get to him, but she was pressing through the crowd, and the best she could do was just barely touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? You know, and he felt the power go away. She was, even though we don't really hear anything else more about this lady, she pressed through. And as we sometimes come Saturday nights, if you go to church on Sunday mornings or whenever you go to church, oh, I don't feel like worshiping. That's what the body, that's what the flesh says. Sometimes I don't feel like it. I really don't feel like it. We got to push through. Just like this lady, she pushed through till she could just touch that hem of the garment to get from God, from Jesus, what we need. And not worship God necessarily. And when we talk about praise and worship, it's not about getting from God. It's giving to God. And he's going to give back because he's a faithful God. The third person was Mary Magdalene, who was anointing Jesus' feet. And that's found in John 12, verse 1 through 8. But in verse 3 it says, then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Here, there's several different passages throughout the four Gospels that describe this in a slightly different way. But this is Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene came from a bad past. You know, and so then people are like, well, why are you letting this lady who is dirty, that's unclean, touch you? You know, she's cleaning his feet with this expensive perfume, basically, and it filled the whole room. And to me, it's kind of like you hear the songs talking about let the praise fill this place and the aroma fill this place. And you know, you see the Old Testament when they burnt incense, you know, and the incense filled this place. And that was kind of almost a foreshadowing or representing what happened in the Old Testament, but to Jesus, you know. To Jesus, and it's just amazing thing. And we know Mary Magdalene had a great conversion, you know, and had, you know, went after God, followed Jesus. And the fourth person is, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more and a little bit further on, but Mary, who was listening at Jesus' feet, they were at Lazarus' house, and for those who don't know, Jesus had a real great relationship with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And when Lazarus died, he was heartbroken. But here we see he was there, and they were at a table, and Martha was just serving and everything. And Mary's just sitting there taking in everything. And, you know, we need to sometimes be the Mary, you know, and just sit there and listen and just sit at Jesus' feet. And again, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Some of the passages I'm going to read from tonight, and I'm going to try to read them almost word for word, was on the internet is a website called desiringgod.org. And I had seen it before, but when I was delving into this more, I came across this article, and this article is How to Have Intimacy with God by John Bloom, written back in 2016. But my first point is, what is intimacy with God? What does that mean? You know, what does that mean? And John Bloom wrote, intimacy with God is available to you. It's accessible to you as God's promise. In Hebrews chapter 9, we see Jesus being compared to the high priest. In Hebrews chapter 9:24 says, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again the way the high priest entered the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for the accumulation of all ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. No one can enter the Holy of Holies or the most holy place. Depends on which version you read. It's the same exact thing. But no one can go in there except for the holy priest. And he was only able to go once a year, and he did a sacrifice. Well, when we see Jesus died, right when Jesus died, it says in Matthew or Mark chapter 15, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man is the Son of God. If you notice, it ripped from the top to the bottom. And that represented our God tearing it from heavens down to the earth. And it basically separated for us, Jesus' death separated for us, we have access to that Holy of Holies. Not the physical Holy of Holies, but we have the access to have an intimate relationship with God. The people before that, really, besides Elijah and Elisha and Moses and a few people, didn't really have a relationship with God. There was only special people that did that, that had that. Now, with that curtain tearing, with the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we have access to have an intimate walk with God. And it's amazing. From this article says, intimacy is what we call the experience of really knowing and being known by another person. An intimate friend is someone who we feel very close to. They know us at a deep level. If something happens that damages that intimacy with our friend, they feel distance from us. Or a person who doesn't know us intimately knows us at a superficial level. But of course, intimacy is relational. It's about that relationship. As I've said throughout my life, and as Pastor Chris says, it's a relationship. You know, so many people serve God as a religion and miss the whole concept that we can have an intimate walk with Him. This article continued and said, it is not about physical closeness, it's about the relationship. Sometimes you can be sitting right beside someone and feel miles away. That's not about a relationship, you know. But God, with God, it's a relationship. What makes us feel intimate with another person? While there are many ingredients to intimacy and each intimate relationship, we have a different recipe. Common to all of those is trust. We cannot be intimate with a person that we do not trust. So how much do we trust God? How much do we trust God? Trust is at the heart of intimacy. The more we trust someone, the closer we get to them. You see some of these movies and they're like, oh, they've been hurt and oh, I don't know if I'll ever love again. And then all of a sudden the walls start breaking down. But sometimes, so as Christians, what we do sometimes, we put those same walls up with God, and we say, well, it stops us from, and I don't want to jump ahead, but it stops us, it slows us down from having that intimacy with God. The degree to which trust is compromised in a relationship is the degree which intimacy evaporates. The heart of intimacy with God, this is as true with the relationship with God as it is with our relationship with human beings. Our experience with God's nearness or distance is not a description of our actual proximity to His actual proximity to us, but our experience of intimacy to Him. Scripture shows that God is intimate with those who trust Him. The more we trust God, the more intimately we come to know Him. As Christians, we should desire to experience intimacy with God. The psalmist says in Psalm 73:28, for me it is good to be near to God. Wow, we could be near to God. And we know that as Christians, but how intimate are we with God? You know, there's been points in my life that I've been more intimate with God, and then you kind of fall back, and you're still intimate with God, but you're not as close as you were, and then you just kind of go back and forth with that. And meanwhile, God's saying, come on, I'm here. I'm here. Let's just just be there so that you, my mom that I speak of a lot of times when I'm preaching is one of those people that she hears from God just like that. And it's amazing. She's a pastor, former pastor's wife, but she just had that relationship with God, that intimacy with God that sometimes we're too busy and we don't hear, but she, even if she's busy, she's seems to be focusing on God. She's cooking. She's focusing on God. She's cleaning. She's focusing on God. It's incredible. You can have intimacy with God by having a hunger and thirst for Him, putting our focus on God, and it's about praying or talking with God, studying His Word. It's about praise and worship, living a life that is glorifying to Him, and many other things. But that's just the tip, you know, the basic things there. So number two is, what are the obstacles of having intimacy with God? What are the obstacles to intimacy with God? First one, and I've kind of hit on this, is I'm not enough. I'm not enough. In another article on the internet from crosswalk.com, the article is What is Intimacy with God and How Do I Pursue It? By David Kyle Foster. He just had many misconceptions. I like this one, and I wrote this one down. Intimacy with God is only for special people. That was true in the Old Testament. That was removed when Jesus died on that cross and He was resurrected. He wants to be intimate with every single person on this earth. We can't go around saying, I am not enough. I am not enough. That's a misconception. God's worthy, and then we say, I'm not worthy. But we need to say, I am worthy. Not because of what I do, because what was done for me, what Jesus did for me. I'm worthy. We need to get that out of our heads, out of our minds, our hearts, our souls, that I'm not worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy. We're made worthy through Jesus Christ. As Christians, if we choose to think this way, that I'm not worthy, it actually lessens the blood of Jesus. It lessens the work of the cross in our lives. Not lessens it over together, just in our lives. The blood of Jesus is powerful. The second obstacle to intimacy is complaining and criticizing attitude. In Luke chapter 10, and we talked about that a little bit earlier about Martha and Lazarus and Mary, but in Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 38, it says, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, they came to a village where Mary, or a woman named Martha, opened her home to them. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted with all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but a few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. If you notice here, Jesus didn't reprimand Martha for her preparations, because the preparations are needed. There's a lot of people that do a lot of back scene stuff here in church that a lot of us don't know about. But that's a ministry. And the ministry of preparations, of organizing, is a ministry. And there was nothing wrong with that, and it was needed at that time. What was the downfall there was the criticizing and complaining heart. Intimacy with God is our focus being on God or Jesus and our relationship with God. If we complain, we criticize, we change that focus to me, you know, to you, to, you know, it's not on God. So when we're in church and we see things that we don't like, like, oh, there's a media booth back there. Why do we need a media booth? Or why do we need that big of a media booth? Or, well, I didn't agree with what Pastor Chris said the other day or me, tonight. Or why is the worship band playing that song that way? Or why this, why that, whatever. We come into this church, and before we get to this church, our focus should be on God. We should allow God to prepare our hearts. And as we walk in here, that each person in this place has the same focus. Each person. It's about him. Everything, and that's what I like about Pastor Chris. When I left the ministry, I was a pastor up the road. I resigned in 2006. I went to 11 different churches trying to find a church for myself and for my family. And it was tough. There's certain things I wanted, but I didn't go in there and say, hey, I'm a former pastor. I never told anybody that. I told I would wait 3-4 months and then maybe bring it up. I came to this church when we were up on Arlington. I showed up, and I actually remembered this recently, that it was right before New Year's. And I came here, and it was a very small handful. And one thing that I want to say to you, Renee, in regards to Aaron was up front. Aaron, I remember you, Aaron, you were dancing up front in front of this church, and I loved it. I'm like, great, this is awesome. This is awesome. And then I remember Renee talking to me, and Mimsy talking to me, and of course Pastor Chris talking to me. And I'm like, I can't remember everybody else, but I remember you two specifically talking to me. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. I went to one church in the area, which I'm not going to mention. And if you ask me afterwards, I still won't mention it. That we walked in, we were 5 minutes early. We went, sat down, sat through the whole service. At the end, we kind of slowly got up, thinking someone's going to talk to us. We walked out that door, and the most I got was a head nod from a guy across the room. Not a single person. Not a single person. So the following week, I didn't come to church because it was New Year's Eve, and for most of you know that I do fireworks for a living. Actually, my entire family does, except for my wife. And she's actually helped me on a couple shows. But, so I had a show, and I was gone. Following week, I show up, and Renee and Mimsy remembered me. And I think there was other people that remembered me. And it hit me real good. You know, it's like, wow. And I actually told Pastor Chris, because he came to me, and he remembered my name and everything. And we talked, and we just sat there and talked and talked. And I actually told him then, yeah, I resigned from the ministry, you know, years back, and just because I knew I was at home. If we have one person complaining, oh, that kills our home. You know, that kills the focus of God. It kills our chance to have a great relationship with God. That wasn't any of my notes, but I just felt that was good, but you can't come into this church, I don't believe, and not get somebody to talk to you. And I try to catch people, and I don't always get to do that, and I apologize for that. Third obstacle for what stops us from having an intimate life or walk with God is sin. And I don't want to focus too much on this, but Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have been hidden your face from you so that you will not hear. It says plain and simple, your sins, your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. The original sin was from Adam and Eve. That started the separation from God. They were then kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Then on as we go through the Israel, that's when they came up with the sacrifices and the high, well, the sacrifices started earlier than that, but the different other sacrifices and then the high priest and the temple, or the tabernacle, then the temple. And if you want a great study, study the tabernacle, each of the pieces of that. I actually did that as a senior in high school, and it was incredible. Second Chronicles chapter 7, which is one of my favorite verses. And this is one thing good about if we have sin in our life, it's this simple. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Kind of like David. David really messed up, you know, a lot and big. And he came back before God and said, God, and truly said, I'm sorry. Every Saturday night before I lead in worship, I always pray, God, if there's anything in me, take it away. Take it away. I don't want it there. Take it away. I want to be right with God. I want to be worthy to be up there leading in worship and praise. I don't want to be guilty of that. The third point is, how does our relationship and intimacy with God grow with or through praise and worship? How does our relationship and intimacy grow with God through and with praise and worship? First of all, I don't want to categorize every single part of praise and worship, what you are supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it. That's not what I'm talking about. And I think you'll get that when I continue. Some of the greatest times of worship and realizationship of me with praise and worship has been this, and some of these are kind of weird, but I was listening, and I don't know how many old timers we have and likes to listen to the Christian hard rock and metal. There's a band called Res Band or Resurrection Band, been together since the 70s. And they have a song called Colors, and it just talks about the great mercies and the creation of God. And all of a sudden, I just started worshiping to it. And I'm like, I grew up from a Pentecostal church, but there are certain ways you had to, you know, why should I be worshiping to a rock song? You know, and it just dawned on me. It's like, it's the words. I'm pouring my heart to God because of the words, and I'm picturing God with this creation. Another realization for me was dancing and jumping. And we're going to get into that a little more. But back when I was a youth pastor before I came into the area, we took our youth to a youth convention, and I was probably another 30 pounds heavier than I am now. And I just felt like dancing. And I just started, wasn't much to it, just bouncing. And I called it almost like the holy pogo, where I just, you know, bounced up and down. I mean, like, but the release from that is incredible. You know, here I was, something I grew up saying you can't dance. That's dancing is of the devil, you know, of everything. And I'm like, And so I've never danced. My wife keeps on telling me, because I've never danced with my wife, and I know that's sad. But I don't have anything wrong against that, you know, or anything. You know, I'm just kind of weird about feeling about dancing, you know, myself. I'd be afraid to step on her foot or something. But, and then the third thing is worshiping during quiet times. Because I kind of grew up, you grew up in church, and it's like, oh, we're singing a song now. I get praise or worship. But sometimes we need to worship in those quiet times. You know, so praise and worship gets our focus on God. It gets our eyes on Jesus. That's why we do praise and worship first. Because if your hearts aren't prepared, we hope that through the praise and worship, your heart is prepared, because let me rephrase that. It's not the most important thing, but one fellow pastor of mine many years ago says a strong praise and worship gets a strong word. If you have a really weak worship, and you have a strong word, it's not as strong. But if you have a strong, powerful praise and worship, and you go into that word, and that's powerful, there's a great result there. So we could grow in intimacy with praise and worship, and we grow in worship intimacy with the word, and we need to receive both times. During a time of praise and worship, we sing praise, or as I say, celebration or rejoicing songs, and then we transition into worship, more reflective songs or songs of from the soul. Just because I'm categorizing it into those different categories doesn't mean they have to be that way. That last song that we just did, My Soul Sings, we sing and we sang certain parts where it was quiet and it was reflective and worshipful, but then we kicked it into the bridge and the other song, and I never can think of the words afterwards, but it gets real powerful then. So I purposely do that where songs, I want to have times of, and I've actually started that more recently, where I want to have us where we're not singing, but we're still playing, and we're reflective enough to where we worship, and we could just, it's not totally quiet because we're playing, but we could sit there and just reflect on Him. A certain phrase I've heard recently that just got me thinking, it said, use your inside voice. You know, and usually you tell a child, you know, who's talking really loud, use your inside voice. You know, you're not outside. Well, it got me kind of thinking about it. I'm not sure why. And God drew me to use your inner voice. Use your inner voice. Singing from the depths of our being, our from our soul. You know, we worship. Psalm 103, starting with verse 1, says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget about all of His benefits. He who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, He who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praying from deep within. There's different ways of, and this, again, this isn't going to be everything, different ways of or forms of praising God. And first of all, I want to say that when Pastor Chris and I pick songs to do, we try to make sure that the message is directing us to God. That the words and message direct us to God, and there's nothing wrong. Like I said, you could sing the rock music, Christian rock music. You could sing to our praise and worship, our praise and worship to, you know, Christian rock music, Christian metal music. You could do the rap music, Christian rap music, and different things. It's where your focus is. I teach just for this year. I'm teaching at the Newcastle Christian School. And first thing I do when I get in my room and I'm setting up the computers for my first couple classes is I've been turning on praise music. I don't want anybody offended if I'm playing Christian rap or something when they come in, but I don't think they would be. But, there's a fellow person who shares the room with me who is a worship leader at another church. And so she ends up coming in. And then she ends up singing, and I'm singing, and it's a great time. And then I'm walking through the halls, and I'm singing. And I'm starting my day out with singing. And I was walking through the staircase the other day, and one of the fifth graders goes, are you singing? It's like, yeah. He's like, okay. I said, well, I'm a praise, you know, leader. But I said, I like singing. He goes, okay. So, I mean, I wasn't embarrassed or anything. It just, you know, I don't care if they hear me or whatever, but I try not to disturb anyone in that. But so here's some ways to praise and worship. In regards to celebration, there's shouting. A lot of us don't like to shout because we're kind of, but we hear shouting in here sometimes. That's fine. That's perfect. You know, and just a way, you know, you hear the Israelites shouting and dancing, and you know, it said David was shouting and dancing. You know, Another way is the dancing and jumping. And to kind of get back a little bit more about that, when I grew up, I was told that if you danced, you only danced in the spirit. You know, and I saw dancing in the spirit, and that was sometimes some crazy stuff. I remember this one Filipino lady that was like not even 5 foot, and she did this dance where she was spinning around the church with her eyes closed in between the pews, and she was dancing. And if you, I don't know if that was a dance, but that's what it seemed like. And I was amazed that she was doing that, but I was also amazed that she didn't fall because she had her eyes closed and she's spinning. If I was spin around like 5 times, I'd probably fall down, you know, and get dizzy and stuff. But I knew that was dancing in the spirit. Well, then I got later, and I think my first pastor I was underneath as a youth pastor, and I was talking about, we were talking about dancing, and I said something about dancing in the spirit, and he goes, well, why do you have to dance in the spirit? Because I don't believe that David was dancing in the spirit when he saw that ark coming in, you know, the ark of the covenant. I think he was just dancing in celebration. And when I danced in the past, I just said, you know, I'm dancing. I feel like dancing. And it wasn't dancing in the spirit. So there's nothing wrong with dancing in the spirit. That's awesome. But there's nothing wrong with dancing because I'm so happy. I want to dance. You know, whether it's a heavyset guy, you know, like I said, I was bouncing around, just doing, jumping up and down or whatever. It's before the Lord. It's, you know, it's a good thing, you know. So don't dance if you want to dance. Dance. You know, we have that in the church too. Clapping. We know about clapping, lifting our hands, verbally worshiping God, and the flags that we have, you know. And there's other ways. And in worship, we have lifting up our hands again and flags again, the verbal worshiping. But couple things I wanted to go about that, and I'm going preaching a lot longer than I probably ever have, but I wanted to get all this in. That's why we didn't sing 5 songs. But the third thing was in regards to worship was laying prostrate before the Lord. And what that simply means is falling on our face before God. And I've seen that, and I've done that. I just feel so overwhelmed that it wasn't the spirit coming on me and pushing me over. I just felt like going down on the ground and laying on my face before God. And it was such a great working that happened to me because I did something out of the ordinary. It's that thing where the sacrifice of praise. You know, we dance. We don't feel like it, you know, or we don't want to because I'm afraid someone's going to think. If I lay before the Lord, what's people going to think? It's a sacrifice of praise. Let's sacrifice and just do that before Him. There are many examples of people falling on their face before God, and some of the examples were falling on their face before a king, but the greater examples is falling on their face before God and repenting. In 1 Kings chapter 18. The people had fallen away from God and were worshiping the idols of Baal. Elijah had challenged the prophets of Baal to a duel in regards to, if everybody remember that thing where he had the altars, and he challenged them to a duel, and it was an embarrassing one-sided victory for God through Elijah and Elijah's faith and Elijah's obedience. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 39 shows the result of what happened after the obedience of one man. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." They fell down. They just realized, you know, fall down before the Lord. You see on movies or whatever, and you see people going before a king and you know, laying down, face first, or bowing down, or whatever. The last one in that is sitting in His presence, and we talked about that earlier, quietly and inwardly worshiping God. Sitting in his presence, which means you could be standing, but just dwelling in his presence, being in the presence of God and not saying anything. You know, you maybe say a little bit of thing, but sometimes just be in that, have our spirit just worshiping God without even saying words, but being quiet and just allow God to speak to us. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth." Be still. It's hard to be still anymore with all the stuff that we have going on and everything. Next week I'm going back to work full time and I'm still teaching at the school. So I don't have a lot of time, but we need to make time for God. We need to be still and know that God is God. Matt. First Kings 19. First Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 13. Thank you, sir. The Lord said, "Go out and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then there was a great powerful wind. Then a great powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, and the Lord was not in the wind. Then after the wind, there was an earthquake. There, the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, they became a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he put a cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the face of the cave. We could hear God in many different ways. We could hear God when we're praising him, when we're jumping up and down dancing, or when we're shouting. But we could also hear, sometimes we just need to be still and hear God. So don't, all of those different things, you could praise God in every single one thing that I mentioned tonight, but don't forget to be still and just listen. He desires to talk to us. He desires to talk with us. You know, shouldn't it be a one-way conversation? It should be God, us talking to God and then being quiet. When you're talking to your spouse or your kids or your coworkers or whatever, you talk to them, you stop, listen, they talk to you, and you go back and forth. So many times we are talk, in Jesus' name we pray. And where's the listening? Oh, I desire so much to have an intimate relationship with God. I desire that each one of you have an intimate relationship with God. Can you imagine what this church would be like if we had the extreme, and again, I'm not saying you don't have an intimate relationship or walk with God. I'm talking about that ultimate intimate relationship that we just sit there at his feet and just bask in his feet. He wants us to hunger and thirst for more of him. And we sing these things about hunger and thirst. We see it in the Bible about hunger and thirst. But imagine if you haven't eaten in like 4 days. You're out somewhere and you just lost and you haven't eaten. You're not on a fast. You're just out somewhere. I haven't eaten. What is your focus? Food. You're lost and it's a hot day and you haven't drank for over 24 hours. Oh, you're thirsty. That's how we need to hunger and thirst for God. You know, when we first hear hunger and thirst, we think, oh, I skipped a couple meals, and yeah, I'm hungry. But I'm talking about that thing that just drives us because we're so hungry and that we're so thirsty that we want Him. That's how much we should focus on God, to hunger and thirst for Him. That our most inner part of us, my soul, sings. If you would stand, we're going to sing. My soul sings.
And my soul sings. And my soul sings.
And my soul sings.
And my soul sings.
That's a desire of your heart. Just reach out to Him right now and just touch the hem of His garment. Make that the decision tonight. Oh Lord, I want nothing more in my life than to hunger and thirst for You. My soul sings for You, Lord. Oh, thank You. My soul sings.
My soul sings.
My soul sings.
My soul sings.
With all my heart.
With all my heart.
Just tell Him you love Him.
I love You, Lord. You're my first love. You're my reward,
Jesus.
And through the years, You've been good to me. So
us tonight, Lord, and if there's someone in this place that just wants that desire, Lord, as I want to be more intimate with You, Lord, just to have them reach out and make that decision, Lord, that I want more of You, God. I want more of You, God. I want more of You, God. I want more of You. I want more of You, that when we wake up tomorrow morning, I'm saying, I want more of You. And the next day, I want more of You, Lord. And throughout each day, I want more of You, Lord, to walk with You. Jesus, help us to just keep our focus on You, Lord. Jesus, be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord. Let us walk in the victory that through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. Let us walk in that victory and let us have a victorious week in You. Let us not say that I'm not worthy, but we are worthy through the work of the cross. Help us to have that victory, Lord, this week. That people that don't know You see us having those victories and walking in a victorious life, Lord, and they come to us and find out what's going on in our lives, Lord. That You would be glorified, Lord. We again just ask You just be glorified in this place in our lives, Lord. Be with Pastor as he travels back and tomorrow, Lord, and just be with them and let him come back refreshed, Lord, and just let us have a good week in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.